Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Reed Forgrave with CBSSports.com. You're listening to The Jake Brown Show.
And welcome to the Jake Brown Show on radio.com, iTunes, and Spotify is where you find us. We're on Facebook Live. You can like the Jake Brown Show on Facebook and watch us there. Higher quality video than the Twitter Live we got going on right now. Follow me on Twitter at Jake Brown Radio and follow the show at Jake Brown Show. What a wild week it was and a wild weekend last week, Thursday and Friday. The show gained a lot of attention over a controversial interview with Desi Relaford, the former MLB utility man, joined us on Wednesday. I did not send out the interview, I just tweeted it, posted it, was not trying to get anyone in trouble. Someone on Twitter or someone saw it, they heard it, they ran with it, and it was picked up by NBC Philly, the local TV NBC station there, and then NBC Sports Philadelphia is where it gained steam. And the Morning Call, the Allentown PA newspaper, it was picked up as well. And it became the talk of the day on Philly Sports Radio. It was obviously a slow news day in Philadelphia when they're talking about Desi Relaford on a podcast that no one's heard of until then. And a guy and me that no one's heard of until then. So it was talked about on 97.5 The Fanatic and 94.1 WIP. And I wanted to react to some of those things. If you missed it, Desi Relaford essentially called Philly fans trash, and he wanted to make sure he told me that it wasn't every, it's not all Philly's fans, it's a small portion. And in the morning show, the people in the morning and some of the other people didn't hear it, so they couldn't react properly to it and said some stuff that was false. And I mean, haters gonna hate. As one guy, like Eitan Show or some loser on the morning show there, made some comments about me and tweets that I said that, I mean, couldn't be more wrong, and you could even look it up and it's wrong. Basically saying that I'm a Philly hater and that that I want plan this to happen or I set this up and some trash comments that, I mean, if you're on the radio, you be on your high horse, hating a little podcast guy. People want to keep commenting. That guys on podcasts, how they get these interviews and these guys to say these crazy things, and they want to say, who? Well, everyone's got a podcast. Well, why aren't these radio shows getting these interviews and these quotes? I mean, they want to hate all they want on the little guys. How about they do their research and do something and get picked up? That's what I want to see. So they can hate all they want, but Marks and Reese covered it. I talked with John Marks about it. He listened and he heard that I said nothing. I did not set this up. I said, who do you affiliate yourself with the most, Desi? Is it the Phillies? You spent the most time there. He jumped around a lot of teams. Fair question. And then I dug further because he said he hated it there, and then the comments came out what he said. He said the fans, they were trash. I had some really good friends there, but his fans, oh, yeah, the worst. It wasn't just me. It's well known. He brought up the Billy Wagner situation, which was sarcastic boos, but there was a lot of booing going on in Philadelphia at the time. Everyone was booing. Because the team sucked and the stadium sucked. And that's not me being a Philly hater. The team was bad and the stadium was a dump. So there was lots of boos for all sorts of reasons going on at that time in Philadelphia. And he went off on John Vukovich, who passed away 11 years ago, to the day that the story was picked up, which, I mean, coincident there. I don't know much about that, so I can't really comment on that. He said Vukovich wasn't fun, and he probably was hard on players. The reaction was that Vukovich was loved, blah, blah, blah. I don't really have a reaction to that. That's what he says. That's what he thinks. To the thought about Philly fans are trash, I do think Philly fans do get a bad rep. Is it fair all the time? No. But at that time, it kind of is fair because they were not the best fans. The reason? They stunk. Everyone stunk. Everyone was losing. They don't win titles. Now, things have changed. If that happened today, they'd say we move on. And look what happened. Desi Relifer goes, and the best shortstop in franchise history comes out of it in Jimmy Rollins. So maybe Desi Relifer leaving could have been the best thing that happened to Phillies fans. You got a title out of it in 2008. The Eagles just won a title. Everything's good and grand in Philadelphia. So, I mean, it worked out. Desi leaving, Jimmy entering, World Series win. How about that? But it became the talk of the day. And I don't care when – it's funny to me when people say, who is that? Like, of course you don't know. I mean, it's a podcast you haven't heard of. It's not a – you haven't heard of every podcast on the planet. You haven't heard of every radio show on the planet. These guys, the 97 Fanatic, I could say the same exact thing. I don't know who you guys are. I don't listen to the station like that. I don't know who you are. So it's the same thing. So the who comment, that stuff doesn't bother me or anyone because I am a nobody. But it's just kind of old because you just don't know everyone out there. And the best part about it, of course, and what happened was the two guys that said it about me both have followed me on Twitter for a while. So they're saying who, and they follow me. And then I tweeted him and called him out. I said, oh, that's why you've been following me for so long, huh? Like, oh, look who's winning now, buddy. I think his name was Harry Mays or something.
That's kind of funny.
It is funny. And he's like, I didn't realize. Oh, what a loser. I mean, you're going to say that and then actually be following me for all this time. So obviously they must have saw it. I mean, sure, if you follow a lot of people on Twitter, you don't see all the tweets that come through.
Absolutely.
But you've seen some of my I tweet a good amount. He's seen my tweets. So you could say who, but you follow me. Now, if you said who and you didn't follow me, that's fine. But you actually have for a long time. So that made it kind of hysterical on 97.5 The Fanatic. So I don't mind that. But I just the agenda thing and me being a Philly hater, do I root for Philly teams? No, I'm a New York sports fan. Of course not. But am I going to disrespect and hate the city? I love the setup of Philly stadiums. I mean,
oh yeah, it's fantastic.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
You have the Xfinity Live in the middle, and you have three stadiums surrounding it. I would love us to have that in New York.
Yeah, that'd be
it would be impossible.
It would be impossible, and I would not want to work or go anywhere near there outside of going to
in
a
the
game.
City. Yeah. Yeah, but if it was like Queens, maybe Flushing, like near Citi Field, if you had stadiums, that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah,
I have no problem with it. And for him to say I was rooting against the Eagles, I made a joking comment about the people eating poop on the floor or whatever it was after they won the Super Bowl. But other than that, I bet on the Eagles won. I dislike the Patriots, too. So there was no freaking way I was rooting for the Patriots. And three, there is nothing that I've said that has said, screw Philly. I wanted the Eagles to win. So the guy's comments, this producer on his high horse, this loser who follows me, who's DM'd me about... He's DM'd me about good Philly cheesesteak because when I went, I wanted to know which place is good. I had lunch with Coach Phil Martelli with a couple of friends of St. Joe's, and he gave me recommendations. This guy's DM'd me last year, and now he wants to talk smack about me on the morning show. I mean, that's what happens when you don't do research. And when people who actually listen to the interview, if you want to listen, it's on podcast.radio.com/Jake Brown, iTunes, Spotify. You could hear that there was no setup. I mean, it was just he said it and he run with it. It wasn't. I was not hating on Philly at all. All I wanted to know is that who he affiliates with himself most? Clearly, he doesn't at all. He does not affiliate himself with Philly, and I feel bad for the backlash because Desi's a good guy. He said something that was dumb, and he said something he probably shouldn't have. But there's nothing we could do. It was already out there. You're not gonna delete it and get rid of it. You know, it's not like he said it. I'm sorry. Like. I didn't send it out. It just happened. So I guess thanks for people who listen to it. It was not my intention for it to go viral or blow up. There's times when guys say something, you're like, all right, this has to be sent out. Samaki Walker told us the story of when he sucker punched Kobe Bryant, and we knew as soon as he said it, it was going to be the lead story on TMZ, and it was the next day. So there's certain stories where you're like, all right, we need to get this out there. This wasn't one of them. It was Desi Relifer, 240 career hitter with the Phillies. The reaction is, you can hate us, we don't care. That's the saying in Philly. Yet everyone cared. I don't know why. It was like, I mean, I guess no publicity is bad publicity, which is a false statement. I think it ends up being good publicity for the show as we wrap up with radio.com and CBS and Entercom the end of the month. give us a momentum to go where we go next. But again, it wasn't set up that way. This is the Jake Brown Show, radio.com, iTunes, Spotify. So I wanted to clear that, get that out of the way. Shanner called me affiliator. Screw you. You follow me. You've DM'd me. And you didn't even listen to the interview before calling those statements. You pointed to tweets that weren't there. So you're a loser. Harry Mays, you're a loser because you followed me and say who and saying trash and all this. Well, thanks for talking about the interview all day on your show. Slow News Day in Philly, where they're talking about a no-names podcast with a no-name guest. So kind of to spite Philly this week, of course, and what I did is I sent a text to my good buddy Lenny Dykstra and said, why don't we go from a guy who hates Philly, who sucked in Philly, to a guy who was a three-time All-Star in Philly and one of their better players in their history and controversial players in Lenny Dykstra, who, yes, did win a World Series with my New York Mets. I am a Mets fan, yes. And that's, and again, that's why they hated on it. Because they're like, New York douche, Mets fan, Philly hater, yeah. And we can say that complete thing about them. I mean, it goes both ways.
Fair enough, yeah.
It's like, oh, Philly douche, New York hater. Listen, I've been to Philly a couple times. I like the city. I had an interview for a job in that city. Didn't get it.
We weren't a Mets hat?
It wasn't. You know the best part about it?
What?
It was one of the sites that picked up
the
interview. So you better believe I sent the link to the guy who didn't hire me for that and said, thanks for the love. Thanks for that. So that made me very happy. It was great. It was NBC Sports Philly. I mean, I'll just say it. I mean, that was it. The top site in Philly. So I like Philly. The fans, it seems like we did hit a soft spot, and that's what kind of was funny to me, is that clearly they get offended when you make fun of their fan base. New York, I don't think we care. I think we're just like, oh, whatever, we're from New York.
I'm a Yankee fan, and generally
there's nothing to make fun of.
Well, yeah, but I mean, there are very two clear camps. People either love the Yankees or they absolutely hate them. So
yeah. I hate them.
I'm used to that.
So it definitely goes both ways. But again, not a Philly hater. I don't like the teams, but I no hate to the city. I think it's a wonderful city, and I'm happy the Eagles won. I'm happy you guys are happy now. When Desi Relfer was playing there, you were not happy. It was rough. It was ugly. But everything's good now, baby. Oh yeah, baby. I'm mimicking the our drop.
Oh yeah, baby.
Everything's good and gravy. Coming up on this show later on, we're going to have Reed Forgrave from CBS Sports and GQ. He came out with a piece on John Calipari that just dropped today. He will join us to break down the NCAA tournament. The brackets are all set. The one seeds are Virginia, Xavier, Villanova, and Kansas. We'll break down the brackets with him. Can't wait for that. Bracket season's always fun because as a gambler, for everyone, it's a time to win money. You enter your pools, you do all that. You're trying to win some guap.
I'm historically bad at these.
We always are, but you never. There's that one year you get lucky, or the one year there's no upsets. Oh, wait, there's always upsets. And I know in mine, I'll give my predictions later on, but I know I don't have many upsets this year, and I'll probably regret that. But I think a couple of notes on this before we get into Kirk Cousins. Lenny Dykstra will be on another episode this week. He'll be in studio, and Lauren Sanderson from Epic Records, the artist, is going to join us. She does some a little R&B, some hip-hop, some alternative. She is dope, and she's part of Epic Records, so she's got to be fairly epic. She'll join us this week as well. But a couple of notes. I think Arizona is the one seed that's not one of the top seeds. They're four. That could make some noise. They're in a tough region along with Virginia, but I think Arizona is a team that early in the season was a top-five team. They can make some real noise. I think Auburn, Charles Barkley, I know he's saying a homer in him, I think there's a chance Auburn will make some noise. And I think the obvious 3C that will make some noise and is in a favorable region for them potentially is Michigan State. I think Michigan State has a great chance to make the Final Four. So I think Michigan State, Auburn, and Arizona are the non-top seeds you should watch out for. I'd watch out for Houston too. I think Houston is a sleeper. as a six. If they could get by Michigan in that second round, if they could play UNC, oh, that'll be a dandy. Houston versus UNC. And Tennessee is another team to watch out for. But really, Arizona and Michigan State are those two. So we'll talk with Reed Forgrave about that as well. Kirk Cousins. This guy just got paid in full today. We had to start with Desi, but the number one topic right after that is Kirk Cousins. This guy is changing the history of the sport with his new contract that is still reported. It's not official, but it seems like it's as close to official as it gets, as he plans to sign a three-year, $84 million deal with the Vikings, $28 million a year. But that's not the headline of that story. The headline is that it is a fully guaranteed deal, which in the NFL, I believe this is historic. I don't think it's ever happened. I don't think anyone has signed a fully guaranteed deal of $84 million. He is getting all that money no matter what happens. You can't cut him, can't release him. He will be the Minnesota Vikings quarterback for the next 3 years. And if he's hurt, no matter what happens, he's getting $84 million in the bank. He can retire after these 3 years if he wants.
Damn.
Never in the NFL. The NFL is the one sport. The money is just not guaranteed. You cut a guy after 1 year if they suck, and you get rid of that contract. They ain't getting rid of it. And that's what makes this so historic. And the fact that Aaron Rodgers is doing his LeVar Ball strut into the Packers office because he wants $2 trillion. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is about to get $40 million a year. Aaron Rodgers is going to get paid when the time comes. He's walking into the Packers GM office. He's like, Kirk Cousins hasn't done anything. Hasn't made the playoffs. Hasn't made a deep playoff run. And he just got paid. Aaron Rodgers is really going to get paid. And fully guaranteed contracts could become the norm in the NFL, which players are going to love. I mean, players are patting Kirk Cousins on the back right now because he's changing the history of the sport. That's always been the riff with the NFL player-wise. I don't think fans care as much because, I mean, they still make millions. But these players, I guess you say they have families to feed, and if they do get hurt or something does happen and they end up getting cut, they don't get their fully guaranteed contract. Kirk's getting it.
Well, I think the issue with that is the more you get paid, the more scrutinized you get. So, you know, if he screws up, they're going to be real quick to boo him.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, I think he's the kind of guy that's going to be motivated by this, that he's going to get $28 million a year. Think about that for a second. He's going to make almost $2 million per game, per regular season game. He will make over $1.5 million. Imagine stepping out in your office for 1 day a week, 3 hour game, and making $1.5 million. Now you got to factor in practice all week, blah, blah, blah. But the actual game that counts that we're all watching, $1.5 million.
I'd love to see a stat where, you know, how many passes that equates to. Like he gets
per pass.
$125,000 per pass or something like
well,
that.
Let's try and do
that's
mental math.
Way too generous.
Say he throws 30 passes a game. Put your calculator in your phone. Do $1.5 million divided by 30. Just 30 passes. And some games he'll throw more. But you figure the Vikings, remember, have Dalvin Cook coming back from a torn ACL. They made the NFC title game without Cook. So Cook's coming back. What does that equal?
That's 50K per throw.
If he throws 30 passes a game, he will make $50,000. What many of us make in a year, he'll make in one throw. One throw, one incompletion, $50,000. One completion, $50,000. One touchdown, $50,000. I mean, every pass he throws is a yearly salary in America. And that's not the average. The average salary in America, I believe, is below $50,000.
I think it's like 45 or something
yeah.
like that.
I mean, he's making more than the average American salary per pass that he throws. That's amazing. And he's going to a team that just made the NFC title game and has a very good chance to make a Super Bowl. They have to be the Super Bowl favorite. He's better than Case Keenum. And Case Keenum, by the way, going to Denver. And a good move for the Broncos. Short term, Case Keenum might make $20 million a year. I don't think the numbers have been disclosed yet, but Case Keenum's on the move. We're going to take a break and come back with more of the NFL free agency moves and NCAA tournament. We'll give my predictions, and Reed Forgrave is also going to join us next to talk about the NCAA tournament and March Madness. Facebook Live, Twitter Live, we will be back. Lenny Dykstra is also on the show this week, and Lauren Sanderson all this week right here on The Jake Brown Show on Radio.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we're back on The Jake Brown Show, radio.com, iTunes, and Spotify, breaking down the madness in March, carrying into early April this year with a guy we've had on before, Reed Forgrave, CBSSports.com, GQ Magazine, New York Times Magazine. He's writing everywhere. Reed, appreciate you coming on, man. How you doing?
I'm good, man. It's like it's like Sunday evening was Christmas morning, and now we get to play with our toys that we opened up. So I'm pumped. Yeah. It's gonna be my wife is not gonna see much of me for the next few weeks.
Yeah, and the first four, whatever they call it, the first eight, is tonight. The Syracuse game I'm looking forward to. I think that's insane. Bonaventure, even in the tournament, is always going to be interesting, at least for us on the East Coast here in New York. Before we get into the tournament, Reed, I want to talk about the piece you just had come out today in GQ. Just take us through, and his daughter loved it. She said it was the most real article about her dad she's ever read. So killer job, she said. So you got the family's approval.
I love that. I love getting that tweet from her.
Isn't that great? And she has so many followers. I don't know if she just has so many because her dad or what, but she's got a big following. But anyways, you went to church. You hung out at a beach house. You drank a lot of Dunkin' Donuts. Take us through your experience with the legend, John Calipari.
So the conceit with this story from the beginning was this is a guy who 10 years ago, frankly like 5 years ago, people would say, you know, he's the biggest villain in college basketball. He calls it his black hat. The people gave him the black hat, like the villains in the old Westerns. And most of it, I mean, his supposed villainy goes back to the 1980s. He's just this hard-charging personality who can rub people wrong. He was very successful at a very young age, and I think people can be jealous of that and think that he, you know, goes about things the wrong way. But what happened over the past decade is this is a guy who was considered to be like ruining college basketball 10 years ago with the taking advantage of this one-and-done rule, saying, hey, like frankly, what he was doing was being honest with the players about it and saying, hey, guys, come here, come to Kentucky. I'm not gonna pretend that you're going to stay 4 years. We're going to get you ready for the NBA. Give me a year of your life, go all out, and I'm going to do my best to get you into the NBA to make that a successful career. And that was very controversial not that long ago, and I don't think it is anymore. The rest of college basketball has, at least with the elite schools, they've followed the trail that John Calipari blazed. I mean, the best example of that is, of course, Duke, because Mike Krzyzewski was a guy who was – he kind of stood against the one-and-done rule. And frankly, he still does. I don't think this is something that he enjoys doing, but he's bought in on it fully. And you look at his team this year, and I think they're starting, you know, four of their five starters, I believe, will end up being first-round picks or close to it in the upcoming NBA draft. They're all four of those guys are freshmen. So if there's – that sort of, I think, is the best example of the establishment – having caught up to John Calipari and what he started.
What is he like, though? Like, when you're hanging out with him, we know, I mean, the great coach that he is, but when you're going to get coffee with him, like his demeanor, like he seems like the coolest guy in the block and all the confidence in the world. Does he exude that when you're going to Dunkin' Donuts and grabbing coffee with him?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the dude has swagger for sure. arrogance, cockiness, whatever you want to call it. I think with Cal, America can be uncomfortable with someone who is a salesman. And just, we're not trusting a salesman. Like the ultimate phrase to call someone, you know, if you're like, I don't trust you, you call them either, you know, a lawyer, a politician, or a used car salesman. And people think of Cal as a used car salesman. And what's interesting about that is he is a salesman, and he admits it. And he's incredible on camera. He's incredible at using the media to accomplish his goals. But I think with Cal, the interesting part is he really believes in what he's selling. Of course, what he's often selling is himself, so of course he's going to believe in that. But I believe there's a level of honesty, of no BS, of a lack of hypocrisy to Cal that is maybe not unique in this sport, but can certainly be rare in a sport where you never really know whether you should be believing people. So yeah, he's a great dude. Like I think he's not everyone in this business is a decent human being. And I believe that, look, he has his flaws and he more than admits to them. But I think he's ultimately, when it comes down to it, is a good and decent man.
Where do you put him amongst the greats in college basketball coaches in the game today?
Of the active coaches?
Yeah, like is he top three, top five, the best?
Top three. I think Coach K, and you just look at what he's done mm-hmm. and the way that he has – his career has morphed with the times, like – he's an old dog who taught himself new tricks. To me, Coach K is unquestionably not just the greatest active coach, but I think the greatest coach of all time. Sorry, John Wooden. I know that, you know, that is a thought that pisses people off, and people can make all sorts of, 10 national titles arguments, and I just say it was a different era. But to me, Cal comes in second because – and it's not – I know people will say he's not the greatest in-game coach I agree with that. Like if you're looking for a master tactician, he's not the first guy I'd pick, but I don't think I think he's still good at that, but you got to take it as a whole. And this is a guy who is his cultural impact in college basketball is so huge. And the fact that this sport has kind of shaped itself in his image over the past 10 decades, I think that sort of stuff going beyond number of national titles and number of Final Fours and, you know, the stat that Cal loves to tell people is the number of players that he sent to the NBA. I just believe that he is a forward-thinking person who he really transcends that idea of coach. He's more of a guy who's pushing the boundaries in good ways and bad.
I would agree with that 100%. Reid Forgrave joining us here on the Jake Brown Show. Follow him on Twitter at Reid Forgrave. Read that piece now. GQ.com. It's a good one as you profile him. I mean, you're hanging out with him. Didn't go out drinking with him, it doesn't seem, which seems like that would be a whole nother adventure in itself, right?
I think Patino's more the drinking partying guy. Cal does not – I think he told me – I'm going to, misquote my own reporting because I didn't use it in the story, but I think he's only, been drunk once or twice in his life. He's not, a teetotaler, and there was – plenty of booze, a lot of Kentucky bourbon at his beach house, but he's not much of a he's just not much of a drinker. I think he's someone who wants to be in control of himself, and so yeah, drinking I'm not sure is much his thing.
Huh, interesting. It's like my mom. My mom, I think maybe has been drunk once in her life, or maybe zero. Which always amazes me. My parents on a Saturday night would much rather be at a Barnes & Noble in the magazine aisle than having any sort of alcohol. But that's interesting to know about him, because I would have thought the opposite. I would have thought he liked the party and he was a good time and stuff, but I guess he's more of a laid back, which is interesting to hear. Reid Forgrave joining us. All right, we'll switch over to the bracket. It's out, it's ready, and we're not talking about the NIT bracket, which unfortunately Hofstra was not put in, which disappointed me.
Come on.
I mean, no one else in the CAA got put in. The CAA, man, it is amazing how low down the totem pole the CAA has fallen since VCU has left. I mean, I guess they don't get respect. Maybe they don't deserve it because some of the teams aren't that good. But only Charleston getting into the tournament as they won as the automatic, no one else. So RIP Hofstra, NIT, maybe the CBI is coming.
It's weird. Talking about the totem pole, I don't even know if the CAA is on the totem pole right now.
They're below the totem pole.
Yeah, I mean, which is interesting. Like, there's some, like, you look through the schools there, like, there's some, like, historically decent basketball schools there. Mm-hmm. Hofstra being toward the top of that list. Mm-hmm. UNC Wilmington's had some great coaches come through there. Wasn't Jay Wright, was Jay Wright the coach at Hofstra, or was he an assistant at Hofstra?
He was the coach at Hofstra.
He was the head coach. Yep. I had a great story about him when he was coaching at Hofstra, and Rick Brunson, old Temple player who kind of bounced around the NBA, was living in town and came and would work out in their gym. And all these players would be like, man, that guy's a beast. He's a monster. And he'd bring his little, you know, six-month-old baby with him, and the baby would just sit in the stroller and just be mesmerized by basketball. And that baby was Jalen Brunson, probably the National Player of the Year this year.
Well, do you look at that? Wow, Rick Brunson, what a blast from the past. I believe he played for the Knicks, I believe, at one point.
He played for a bunch of teams. He's a assistant coach in the city where I live now. He's a Timberwolves assistant.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
He sure did train his son to be I think he's the smartest player in college basketball. I love Jalen Brunson.
Yeah, and then he's up there on the list with the Bridges as well. We'll start here in the South on this bracket. We won't go through every matchup, but Virginia the 1, Cincy the 2, Tennessee the 3, Arizona the 4. In my mind, I think Arizona is the team that should be much higher than a 4. They started off the season great. Obviously, had a lot of shenanigans go down with the Sean Miller news. What's your breakdown of the South?
The most unfair region that a number one overall seed has possibly ever had. Mm-hmm. I think that Virginia, look, I still got Virginia going to the Final Four. I think that team is just so solid and so consistent. But to get there, they got to go through, I mean, possibly Creighton, one of the better offensive teams in college basketball, and then either Kentucky or Arizona, like the two teams that were ranked in the top five in the preseason, just tons of talent, and they're both clicking at the right time. And then in theory, you got to go through Cincinnati being kind of like their mirror image, second best defense in college basketball compared to Virginia at number one. So Arizona's should they be seeded higher? I mean, maybe they could be the 3 seed. They did have that. I mean, I was in the Bahamas for the Battle for Atlantis. I saw them lose 3 games in a row. They looked like a train wreck back in November. And yet, I was there for the Pac-12 final in Vegas a few days ago, and it looked awesome. And DeAndre Ayton is going to be, I mean, dude, that guy's just amazing. He's so hard to stop, especially at the collegiate level. So I think that region is absolutely stacked. I think it's the most difficult region by a pretty wide margin.
Yeah, and it's amazing because Virginia's the number one overall seed, and they probably get the toughest region. Tough luck for them. And my favorite part of that about that region is that we may have 2 Wildcats versus Wildcats matchups in the first and second round. I mean, how often do we have the same so team dumb. Name going up it. Against each other? Isn't that cool?
Isn't there another Wildcat in that region? There's like 4.
Is there
State
another
State.
One?
Kansas State's the other one.
Oh, Kansas so State, like, too. Wow.
Could that be 3 in a row? Yeah.
If I mean, Kansas State shocks the world, we could have 3 straight Wildcat matchups.
That would be, I mean, that's why March is the best thing ever. It's all about the Wildcats, baby.
Hashtag ratings, baby. Wildcat mania in the South. So you like Virginia. I like Virginia as well. I think Virginia, the only way they go down is if their opponent is just nailing threes at an electric rate, because their defense is so good that these teams are just going to have to fire away and hope for the best from downtown, which happens. We see it in the tournament. I mean, we've seen teams, they just get hot shooting and they take down these good defensive teams we've seen in the past.
Except, I mean, you're 100% right, and yet Virginia is, I just called up the stats right now, they are 5th in the country in opponent 3-point percentage. So, like, they defend the hell out of the 3, they defend the hell out of the post. Like, this team is, Tony Bennett's going to be in the NBA sooner instead of later. This is just an incredible coach.
The opponents are going to have to start firing from Steph Curry levels of 35
yeah, right.
feet, essentially.
Why are they putting up half-court shots nonstop?
Half-court.
Didn't get an open look.
14 minutes remaining in the first half, and he shoots from half-court, and it's an airball. Moving to the West, Xavier the 1, UNC the 2, Michigan the 3, Gonzaga the 4. what do you see happening in this region? I think Texas A&M has a chance to surprise some people. I think they had a huge, disastrous stretch, but I think they are better than a 7. And I also look at Houston as a sleeper team. But in the end, I would probably take UNC in that region. What do you think?
Why don't you mention my alma mater, University of Missouri? Come on, man. I got them in my Sweet 16.
Really?
Which is silly, by the way. Like,
well, quarterback, you never know.
Scorer decided to go get a DUI right before the NCAA tournament started, so he misses the first game. Michael Porter Jr., like, the dude is legit. I saw a ton of him in high school. But he's rusty, you know? 5 of 17 his first game out. If he comes out there and plays to his capabilities, which is coming out and shooting and getting an efficient 25 to 30 points, Mizzou can shock the world, baby. But that feels like I'm gambling on something that's like a best case scenario that's likely not going to happen. Houston's an interesting pick. A&M, I thought A&M was going into the season had absolutely had Final Four capabilities, mm-hmm. and yet, what a disaster this team's be up and down and back up again and back down again. I don't trust them one bit. I think Robert Williams is an absolute monster. Like, him and DeAndre Ayton are the two, like, I think, biggest physical freaks in college basketball this year. You watch Robert Williams on the court and you're like, my God, how can anyone ever get a shot over him? And yet this team is, the sum of their parts is way less. Well, what's the phrase? I'm tired. Whatever that phrase is about the sum of the parts. Like, they got a lot of good parts. They don't fit together all that well. So I'm not going to buy in on Texas A&M, even though I think they should be. Like, frankly, this should be a top 4 seed easily just based on talent. But a team that loses as many games in the SEC as they did. I mean, they went 9-9 in the SEC. I get that the SEC was a lot better this year than past years. But still, an elite team and a team with that type of talent should not go 500 in league play.
So who's your pick in that region?
Who is my pick in that region?
Xavier?
Elite Eight, I got Gonzaga going against UNC in a title game rematch from last year. So I do have Xavier losing early, and I got UNC coming out of that region. So UNC going to the Final Four and facing Duke, which I think would be just awesome. But Xavier, I do believe, is the weakest one seed. So because I let my heart get in the way of my mind, I do have them losing in the second round to Missouri, and I'm gonna end up kicking myself because every time I go with my heart, I'm wrong. Well, except for when I got married, I love my wife.
Well, I mean, it's not crazy to think, and it's interesting because the debate has been: will Porter's return affect the chemistry? Will he mess things up? I mean, if he's good, who knows? Maybe that your boy's going a Final Four run. He's good enough to maybe take him there. I think he's got a favorable matchup in Xavier.
I would say the chemistry question with Mizzou is an interesting one. Yeah. It's like the ceiling on this team is not that high without Michael Porter Jr. Maybe you end up losing in the first round by bringing him in. Maybe you could have beat Florida State if you kind of went with the guys who got you there. But he's such a big talent that it's like you roll the dice there and you're very happy with it.
All right, so Reed Forgrave in the South is going with Virginia. In the West, you're going with UNC. Now, I guess you just gave away, we'll go to the Midwest now. You said Duke. Did you say Duke?
I did say Duke.
You did say Duke. So they have Kansas is number one, but I don't think that many people are high in them. And then the Duke potential Trae Young matchup is what I think people would want for ratings. Trae Young getting in the tournament, and I think it was him and him only that got them there because they were on as the bubble as you can get. Break down the Midwest and why you're taking Duke for me.
I'm taking Duke because I think they have the most talent, not just in their region but in the entire country. And, yeah, they're super inconsistent. Rarely do they string together 40 consistent minutes, but when they do, I don't think there's a question that they're the best team in the country. It's going to depend on point guard play. I like Trevon Duval's game a lot, but he can come out there and he can be, when he plays within himself, he can be the guy that gets you to that next level. When he's out of control, he can be the guy that just sabotages everything for you. But ultimately, I think this is a pretty tough region as well. Michigan State, probably my hardest pick in this entire bracket was Michigan State versus Duke, which would be a Sweet 16 game. That's more like a Final Four game, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think those are two of the three elite teams in the country. The other one being Villanova. Michigan State and Duke, I think, has the potential to be just an out-of-this-world game in the Sweet 16. But the other thing that I have out of that bracket, there's a whole bunch of upsets. The 5-12 game is a really interesting one, Clemson, New Mexico State. Clemson's missing Dante Grantham, and he's huge for them, injured like a month ago. New Mexico State is one of the best defenses in the country. Great first-year coach and Chris Jans. They've like really bought in on him. And then the sort of the same story with Auburn and CAA team, College of Charleston. I think College of Charleston absolutely can pull that off. Auburn, you know, they've been a solid team, but they got absolutely smoked by Alabama in the SEC tournament. They're missing their top post player, Anthony McLemore, is injured. I think that has the potential to be a really interesting couple games where you have in the second round, a 12 seed against the 13 seed to go to the Sweet 16.
So Reed Forgrave is taking Duke in that region. And don't tell Charles Barkley about a potential upset of Charleston over Auburn. He might just get mad. He calls this the best team they've ever had. I don't know what's that saying exactly.
Feels a little bit overheated there, Charlie.
Charlie Barks. I'm going to take Michigan State in that region. I agree that Izzo versus Coach K is an absolute classic that could be in the Sweet 16, unless Trae Young just puts on a show. We'll see what shows up there. All right, so you're taking Duke. Now, finally, to the East, Villanova getting the one. Purdue, who I've liked since the beginning to be a potential Final Four team, but I think they have struggled of late. I'm a little iffy on them now. 3, Texas Tech. 4, Wichita State. What do you like out of the East, and what upsets do you like out of there?
I like Nova. Nova, to me, I mean, they were my national title pick going into the season. Pick Jalen Brunson as my national player of the year going into the season. I tend to stick with things. And they've given me no reason not to. Villanova, they just fit. They got a point guard who's just has this mind meld with the coach. They got a lottery pick in Mikal Bridges, who's the closest the college basketball has to like a Paul George. They have, you know, 5 guys on the floor at all times who can put the ball on the floor and who can make shots. I think that's going to be a really tough team to beat. I think they easily handle what I think will be Alabama in the second round. And Sweet 16, either West Virginia or Wichita State, that's where things start getting a little testy. Both those teams are unique and difficult for their own reasons. But to me, Villanova, unless they go ice cold, and there haven't been many games this season where that team has gone ice cold. I think Villanova comes out of that region fairly easily. I'm with you on Purdue. I've liked this team since I was in the Bahamas in November and saw them lose 2 out of 3 games, but look good doing it. That team has, you know, as experienced of a starting 5 as any in college basketball. They got, you know, 4 guys who've played together for 4 years, and then add to that probably their best player in Carson Edwards. So I think Nova versus Purdue in the Elite Eight for a trip to the Final Four is the game that I want and should be an awesome game.
Every time you said Bahamas a couple times, Reed, and every time I'm just banging my head on the mic because that's where I want to be right now, as it's snowing in New York, and it's going to be snowing next week apparently when spring starts. Can I just take a jet and get to Bahamas and get to Atlantis on a beach right now? That's all I would want. Now
it's like 40 degrees here in Minnesota, and it feels like spring, but I know we're gonna get like 4 more snowfalls before it's actually spring.
Oh yeah, it is 39 here, and it was snowing in New York, so the Bahamas couldn't come soon enough. I'm gonna take Villanova too, and I think Villanova Purdue. We're going with the chalk, 1-2 there.
Yeah.
All right, so Villanova, you like Duke, Virginia, and UNC. What's the title game, and who's winning it all?
Nova over Virginia. Like I said, I like to stick with my initial pick if I get the chance. And Nova, I think, is just it's an awesome team. Emphasis on the word team. I think Virginia is an awesome team, too. I'm just not sure if they have the talent. I mean, yeah, they do. They certainly have the talent to win it all. and they have a really, really tough region. I think that is, to make it through that gauntlet and make it to the Final Four would be a huge accomplishment for Tony Bennett. But the dude, I mean, like, it's either him or Sean Miller who's the best coach to not make a Final Four. I think it's probably between those two. And I think one of them's going to do it this year, and my pick is Tony Bennett.
All right, so you're picking Jay Wright over Tony Bennett in the title game. That was your preseason pick, you said, as well?
Yeah, Nova was my preseason pick. Not Virginia. I wasn't that smart. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone had Virginia. Like, they weren't even in the top 25 going into the season, which is just crazy to think.
Yeah, I mean, Villanova seemed like a pretty heavy favorite going in, but Virginia, I mean, that defense. I mean, defense wins championships. We'll see if that actually makes sense here in the tournament. So Villanova over Virginia, Reed Forgrave's prediction. Follow him on Twitter at Reed Forgrave. Reed, great stuff with the GQ piece. Enjoy the dance, and appreciate you coming on, man.
All right, thanks, Jake. Talk soon, man.
All right, man, take care.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
And we're back on the second half of the Jake Brown Show on radio.com, iTunes, and Spotify. Thanks a lot to Reed Forgrave, CBS sports writer and GQ writer, Gentleman's Quarterly, for joining us as well on the show. We have an update. Lenny Dykstra has canceled this week. He should be here next week. We'll see if he cancels next week. Lenny, I don't know. I guess I can say he was reliable because the first two times he did come in studio and he did come. So I guess the third time was the charm. So we'll see if Lenny hears. Next week, Lawrence Sanderson will join us on the show tomorrow. The Epic Records rapper, R&B artist. She's newer to the game, but she's dope and she's really good. So check out her music. She'll join us as well. I'm glad we kind of broke it up here into two halves because while we're recording that other interview, Teddy Bridgewater seems like he is headed to gangrene. He's headed to my squad. And it seems like, I don't think it is official, but they are working on a deal for Teddy Bridgewater. Listen, I like Teddy. I think it is a deal that, for the short term, is solid. I see no problem with it. Considering the Jets are still going to draft a quarterback with that sixth pick, they're still getting a quarterback, no matter what. Teddy Bridgewater had two seasons before he was out for the 2016 season, and this season, we know the story. Case Keenum got the chance to play all year, and he shined. And he surely shined enough to get big money with the Denver Broncos. He's going to the Broncos. And he's going to get somewhere around $20 million a year, which is nuts. We talked about in the first half, Kirk Cousins, $84 million guaranteed. We equated it to 30 throws a game would mean he gets $50,000 per throw, which is more than the average salary in the United States of America. Teddy Bridgewater in two seasons, 2014, 2009, 19 yards, 14 touchdowns, 12 picks. 2015, 3,231 yards, 9 picks. So, he didn't have electric numbers. But he had serviceable numbers. He had decent numbers. 2014, 209 yards rushing. 2015, 192 yards rushing. So we know what he can do. He can run a little bit with the ball. He's fairly accurate. He's a good option. He's better than Josh McCown in the short term. And he's surely better than Bryce Petty. And he's surely better than Christian Hackenberg, who still hasn't gotten a chance to play. So I like I've always liked Teddy Bridgewater, and I think he deserves a shot here. And we'll see what the exact deal is, but hopefully it's a year, 2 years tops, something where he can prove himself. So I'm for Teddy Bridgewater, and I would really love Baker Mayfield to come to the Jets. I want them to draft Baker Mayfield. If not, then Josh Allen. I don't know if Darnold or Rosen will still be there. We know what the Browns have done. They got Tyrod Taylor, but I don't think he's a long-term option. So I still think there's a chance that they draft him. They draft a quarterback, excuse me. So it's going to be the Browns and the drafts are going to determine a lot of things. Do they go with a quarterback and hope Tyrod is just the short-term guy, which I think he should be? I don't think that should be their long-term answer to throw to now Jarvis Landry and Josh Gordon. Or do they go with Saquon Barkley? I think Barkley's a stud. I think he's going to be a franchise running back. But will the Browns take him at number one? That's the question we're all asking. So the Browns are going to control a lot of things, but I think the Jets are in position to still pick a quarterback and start Teddy for the short term once this deal becomes official. But I'm for it. Kirk Cousins to the Vikings, I'm for that. I think the money is nuts, and I think that it's all guaranteed is nuts. But as I said in the first half of the show, it is changing the outcome of the game. It's changing how contracts will be done, and Aaron Rodgers will walk into the Packers GM office and say, hey, pay me big bucks. Because if Kirk Cousins, who's done nothing in his career substantial, is getting this much guaranteed money, you better believe Aaron Rodgers is thinking, give me ownership in the team. Because what he is the franchise. I mean, you saw how bad that team is without Aaron Rodgers. So, you know he's smiling at that. Drew Brees will get less. Signing a 2-year, $50 million deal to stay with the Saints. And a deal that shocked me a little bit here was Sammy Watkins getting 3 years, $48 million with the Chiefs, getting $30 million guaranteed. Sammy Watkins has had a history of being injured. When he plays, he's good. But $16 million a year. He's getting $10 million a year guaranteed is Sammy Watkins, who is a nice receiver. But when you look at this 4 seasons, he's only had one 1,000-yard season in 2015. Last year, 593 yards, and he's getting $30 million guaranteed. I mean, that money shocked me. But I guess kudos to the Chiefs because now you got Watkins, you got Hill, you got Kelsey, and you got Kareem Hunt in the backfield. All for the new youngster to just shine in Pat Mahomes. So Mahomes has himself plenty of targets. But it cost a pretty penny for Sammy Watkins. Case Keenum staying in that division, going to the Broncos in the AFC West, coming from the Vikings, getting a ton of money. But again, Trevor Siemian, not the guy. You had to get a quarterback, a good deal there to get Case Keenum, at least for the short term. It's been said over and over again. I'm not going to need to keep repeating it. Richard Sherman needed an agent. When you look at the how the contract worked out, not good. A lot of incentives, and listen, maybe he's putting it all on his shoulders to be an all-pro because a lot of it's going to rely on him just being a tremendous football player. If he's not or he gets hurt, he's losing millions. He probably would have been better off taking even that 1-3% agent fee that he would have to give and having an agent come to represent him when he signed that 3-year deal with the 49ers. Because he did it himself, and I'm not going to get into all the nerdy logistic details you could read about it. And Joe Thomas said his ego got in the way, and he's 100% right, the offensive lineman for the Browns. Richard Sherman did not get the best end of the deal when you look through that contract. And this is why NFL players cannot serve as their own agents and why you never see it. That fee of up to 3% is small compared to the millions he may lose if he's not at the top of his game. And guess what? Richard Sherman's getting up there in age where who knows if he will be at the top of his game. He'll be 30 on March 30th, so he's hitting his 30-yard line, the 30 mark, which is when guys' careers go downhill. Don't tell that to Tom Brady. And the deal includes almost no guaranteed money. I mean, Richard Sherman needed an agent. He got the $3 million signing bonus, $2 million base salary for this year. Total of $16 million of base salary for 2019-2020. Become fully guaranteed only if he's voted to the Pro Bowl. So if Richard Sherman doesn't make the Pro Bowl, he's losing money. If he doesn't become All-Pro, he's losing money. And Sherman did respond to the tweet and said, "It's actually a case of believing in who I am as a player while also coming of a major injury, but I appreciate your input," he said. This is one of those situations where Sherman got cocky, got confident, and he's putting a lot of incentives into him being great. Part of me likes this for the reason that he's got to be at his best, not to just get those little bonuses, not to get 100,000, not to get 50,000. He's got to play at his ultimate best to receive millions of dollars, which is unique because this guy's going to have to work his tail off and be at the top of his game where he's losing money. Millions. No other player, no other agent is ever going to go for what Richard Sherman did. He's crazy for doing it, but part of it is brilliant. Because if he's not at the top of his game, he's not going to feed his family. Listen, he's still going to feed his family, but you know what I'm saying. He's not going to feed his family the luxurious five-star meals if he's not great. If he is not a Pro Bowler. This is where he's shopping. You better believe it. Sherman's eating the same nuggets I am. If this man doesn't have a stellar season, I'll see you at the Express McDonald's on Houston Street.
Will they have McFlurries for him?
No, I went there. I told myself I wouldn't go back, but I needed something quick and cheap, and I did it. But I'll see you at McDonald's, Richie. We'll see what happens. Some other moves. Danny Amendola staying within the division and going to the Dolphins. That's weird to me. It's weird to think that. I guess he's going to be Jarvis Landry's replacement. We'll see what Amendola, slot receiver, does in Miami. He's going to get plenty of time to shine there. The Arizona Cardinals get Sean Bradford. Sam Bradford. Why did I say Sean? I don't know. So Sam Bradford's going to the Cardinals to replace Carson Palmer. You hope there's some injury protection there. How about this, folks? 1 year, $20 million. $15 million guaranteed. For Sam Bradford! The guy didn't play last season.
Damn, son, where'd you find this one?
I mean, $20 million, $15 million guaranteed.
Hello?
How?
Get out.
You better hope the Cardinals are...
Fly up or get flown over.
The birds are going to need to fly. Because Sam Bradford just got paid. Listen, Bradford had some success before the injury. For that kind of money, he'd be... $50 million guaranteed. For Sam Bradford. Wild. I mean, the NFL free agency keeps getting crazier, folks. I mean, you just shake your head at some of these contracts. It's just like, you're like, what? Say what? But I'm interested to see how Bradford plays in Arizona. He's got the defense. Got Fitz coming back for a year. And his swan song. The Bears beef up that offense. Mitch Trubisky adding Trey Burton. And not just Trey Burton at tight end, but they also get Allen Robinson, the Pro Bowl wide receiver. Not bad. Catching passes from Blake Bortles. Now catch passes from Mitch Trubisky. I think the Bears are shaping up to be a nice little team here. Trubisky, you got the backfield with Howard and Cohen. You got Robinson. You got Burton. They're putting some pieces together to be a decent offense. Robinson, Meredith, Kevin White, hopefully he's healthy, Shaheen and Burton, Howard and Cohen, Trubisky. The Bears fans are happy. I still think they need to get another receiver, but the Bears are shaping up to be a nice little team, better team. And I really like Mitch Trubisky. I think he's going to be a really good quarterback. From watching him last year, I think he has the intangibles to be a franchise quarterback. Not to the level of a Drew Brees or Philip Rivers. Maybe a Philip Rivers, you put him there. Maybe a little bit below there. But I think Trubisky is going to be a nice quarterback. This is the Jake Brown Show, radio.com, iTunes, Spotify. A lot of NFL moves. Teddy the Jets. It's Teddy and the Jets. Doom, doom, doom. Teddy. Oh, Teddy. Oh, Teddy. Oh, Teddy. Oh, Teddy. Oh, Teddy and the Jets. Doom, doom. I don't know how the rest of the song really goes. Do you know what the next
one is? No, I don't even know the chorus, too.
It's kind of because I wanted to like remix it, but I don't know how it goes, so I can't even think of how I would remix it. He's going to Woody Johnson. Well, now it's Chris Johnson is running the show, not the running back. So those are the moves around the league. Quick baseball nugget. I mean, you just feel bad at this point. Before we get to our March Madness picks, David Wright, another 8 weeks without baseball activity. The guy is just the Walking Dead next on HBO. Like, I mean, he's it's gotten ugly. You just feel for David Wright. At this point, for the best for him, and just retire, man. I love David Wright, but just take the Mets get the insurance money and retire. It's too much. In other New York sports news, how about Odell Beckham, that video coming out? He's got a blunt in his hand and cocaine in the video. I mean, of course, an Instagram model leaks it, and now her name comes out, and she gets fame off of this. I mean, the era that we live in, I just shake my own head at things that go on. OBJ, he's a child. He just won't change. He wants to be the star of the show. And listen, I've heard things about OBJ that I wouldn't repeat that are not good. And you see the things. You see them come out. I mean, you see the stories come out. He's got blood in his hands. He's got cocaine in front of him. Like, we know all these guys in the offseason are smoking weed. But once you get coke involved, that's when it's serious. Listen, the weed thing should come out. That you keep secret, you keep it private. But we know all the guys do it. In the NBA and the NFL, it's life. That's what it is. But once you have a video and coke in there, first off, I mean, you shouldn't be hanging with a girl that's taking video. Because you know she did the video on purpose. She wanted to get out there. Oh, one, I'm with OBJ. Oh, look at me, I'm with OBJ. Two, look, there's drugs. Oh, TMZ's going to pick this up. Make sure you tag my Instagram. I mean, it's a freaking joke. But, I mean, that's the era we live in, which is kind of depressing. But you got to make better judgment than that. Other NFL news, by the way. Nada is going to the Eagles to add to that defense, and that defense just gets scarier and scarier. Don't tell Philly, though. I'm talking about Philly teams. They might think I'm hating on them, says Schrander. I call this guy the ultimate bum. Just an absolute fool.
What'd he say?
Well, the guy who's on the radio, we talked about it earlier. Oh. They on Philly sports radio saying that I'm a Philly hater. I tweeted that about the Eagles, not wanting the Eagles to win when I bet on them and was openly rooting for them. Not that anyone cares who I'm rooting for, but I'm just want to prove a point how wrong he is. Saying, listen, I don't root for Philly teams, but I don't hate the people or the teams there. I don't like the Phillies, but I'm not openly going to just hate on them in an open revenue. Like, I'm not going to. And the industry that we're in, it's, you can't really do that anymore. It's just, you put your fanhood a little bit to the side here. And I was rooting for the Eagles, and I love the setup, and I love the city. It's a great city. I think it's a passionate fan base. But you can't please everyone. it ended up turning out good for the show, I guess, but bad for Desi. All right, let's wrap up the show with this, our NCAA tournament picks. We heard what Reed Forgrave had to say. He has Virginia, UNC, Villanova, and Duke. He has Virginia losing to Villanova in the national championship game. And now it's time for the Jake Brown Show March Madness predictions. Da, 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 da. You gotta love this music. It just pumps me up. Da, 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 da. Starting in the South, Virginia's just defense is so good, and I see it continuing to be good for them, barring a miracle. I like Virginia to play Kansas State, and I think Virginia advances to the Sweet 16 over Kansas State. Kentucky Davidson in the Battle of the Wildcats. I think everyone's taking Kentucky. There's no Steph Curry around to help him this time. Kentucky, Arizona. We're going to have two straight Wildcats versus Wildcats matchups. And Arizona advances to the Sweet 16. DeAndre Ayton is just an absolute stud. And it'll be Virginia, Arizona, which could be one of the matchups of the tournament. Miami will play Tennessee. Tennessee is going to take them down. Tennessee is a very good sleeper, but they're in a tough region. It's Virginia. Texas will beat Nevada, face Cincinnati. Cincinnati will go to the Sweet 16. So it'll be 1, 2, 3, 4 in the Sweet 16. I think Virginia tops Arizona in what should be a classic. I think Virginia takes down Cincinnati. So Virginia, the Final Four, nothing crazy there. Xavier will beat Missouri to go to the Sweet 16, but that'll be a good one depending on how Porter plays. Ohio State will take on Gonzaga. It'll be 1 versus 4 there. No surprises. Houston is a sleeper. We'll take on Michigan, and A&M will play UNC. I'm going chalk here. Michigan, UNC, Gonzaga, Xavier. And I think Xavier loses to UNC. I'm taking UNC in the Final Four. Virginia and UNC, same as Reed on the left. To the right, Villanova will take on Alabama, which I think is one of the better second-round matchups. I think Villanova has a pretty good draw here to go the distance. I think Villanova-Alabama is going to be a hell of a second-round game, but Villanova prevails. West Virginia, Wichita State. I like Wichita State and the Shockers. Still going across the board. Florida, I like. I like Texas Tech. I like Arkansas. I like Purdue. I like Purdue to win. I like Texas Tech to win. And I like Villanova to take on Purdue. I really want to take Purdue, but I think Villanova just has the better coach, and they make three-pointers at an electric rate. I always wanted to pick Purdue when they were in it since the beginning of the year, but I think they faltered a little bit later in the season. So Villanova, with the voice crack, is going to the Final Four. Again, no surprises so far. Kansas, Seton Hall. Sorry, Pat. Kansas will beat Seton Hall. New Mexico State, I'm going to take as a 12 to beat the 5 Clemson to go against Auburn, which means Auburn, I believe, will go to the Sweet 16. TCU will beat the winner of Arizona State, Syracuse, which is tomorrow night. And Michigan State will beat them. And then it'll be Oklahoma Duke. I think Duke wins. And then I think Michigan State takes down Duke in what is the best Sweet 16 matchup. I like Tom Izzo's team. I like Bridges. And I think they will take down Duke. Kansas against Auburn. There's another upset I am taking there. I like Auburn to take down Kansas. And I like Michigan State to take down Auburn. So I think Michigan State is your Final Four team in the Midwest. So break down the Final Four. We got Virginia, UNC, Villanova, and Michigan State. I like Villanova to take down Michigan State in what will be a classic. And I like Virginia's defense to stifle UNC. I like Virginia over Villanova. The Virginia Cavaliers and Tony Bennett are your 2018 national champions right here on the Jake Brown Show. I just think Virginia is the squad this year. I think their defense is so good. And I'm taking the Cavaliers. I think Jay Wright's experience, I think that's going to be a classic final. But something, I just really think that this is the year for Tony Bennett. Not the singer, but the head coach. I think they're hot. And that's going to be a good one, man. I think Virginia Villanova would be a great championship. And Virginia Michigan State would be a tremendous championship game as well. I really want to see Trae Young take down Duke in the second round, though. If Trae Young can get by Rhode Island, who don't sleep on Rhode Island, a top 25 team. Don't sleep on him. But I would love to see Trae Young make a deep tournament run because everyone wants to see him be a star. And this guy is already a top three, maybe the number one pick. I'm very curious to see how this shapes up. Trae.
And they have a good coach, Rhode Island. My boy, the coach.
What's up?
Their coach. I like to see them do well because Danny Hurley.
Oh, right. There you go. And that is – I like to see Providence. See, I think A&M is better than a 7 seed, but they had such a rough stretch that they got a shot to upset UNC. But watch out for Providence, man. Providence is hot. And if there's a team to upset, Providence can do it. And that head coach Cooley, I mean, with the towel around his waist, I mean, he's awesome. He had the hole in his pants. But Virginia over Villanova in the national championship. I'm ready. I'm ready for the tournament. Let's get it rolling, baby. Let's get this tournament going. I'm ready. March Madness. Let's go, baby. March Madness, where Sam Bradford's getting $20 million a year. Where Kirk Cousins is getting $28 million a year, guaranteed in his pocket. Kirk Cousins could jump off a cliff, end up in a hospital, and still get $84 million the next 3 years. As horrible as it sounds, he's living the life. And you know what? Part of me's happy for him. Because Kirk Cousins kept getting no respect from the Washington Redskins as he gets the franchise tag. Now he gets his deal, and he gets every freaking penny of his deal. If I'm him, I retire after that year because you can't get any better than that. And, again, we'll see if this changes the course of the NFL on more guaranteed contracts. Thanks a lot to Reed Forgrave, CBS Sports, for joining us in GQ. He had a great piece in GQ on John Calipari. Check that out. Thanks to Lawrence Sanderson, Epic Records, joining us. That interview drops Wednesday, March 14th. Thanks to NBC Sports Philly, NBC Philly, The Morning Call, a couple of the Phillies blogs for picking up the Desi Relifer interview. Thanks to WIP, 97 to 5, The Fanatic, for making it your talk of the day, no matter what you said about the show and who I am, which you shouldn't know me. But just don't say that, but be following me on Twitter. That's what was the best part of that. And the claim of, oh, I don't know why I followed you. Oh, shut up. You've been following me for years. So screw you, you knuckleheads. And I'm a nobody. But don't follow me for years. And then claim, you freaking idiot. Listen, Desi didn't mean the whole fan base. There's some of them. Seems to have hit a soft spot. Because Philly was a buzzing. That's crazy. If I walked around Philly.
Don't go to Philly. I'm going to go to Philly.
If I go to Philly and be like, I could technically go anywhere in Philly and be like, I'm the guy that did the Desi Relevant. And people will know. That's what's funny to me. Like, we had viral interviews, Brown and Scoop. We had the Samaki Walker, the Ben Carson. We have stuff that people might know. But if I go into Philly and say Desi Relevant, they'll know. They'll be like, oh, you idiot. I mean, they'll hate Desi much more than me. They'll say, why the hell were you interviewing Desi Relifer? Which I have to explain over and over again that he's one of my favorite players on the 2001 Mets when he hit 300, had a great season. It's just funny to me that I go to Philly and say that, and they'll know. Like, I don't go to Philly. I plan on going to Philly's Mets game this year, though. Should I hold up a sign? I interviewed Desi Relifer.
You should say, I'm Jake Brown. Any questions?
Shameless plug on the sign, whatever the show is next.
Wear your Relifer Met jersey.
That's what I should get. I should get a Desi Relifer Phillies jersey and with a Mets, wear a Mets hat and go to the Mets Phillies game and see what reaction I get. Or I'll get a Mets one and see the reaction.
Are you Jake Brown?
Isn't that unbelievable? Like, it's just funny to me. Anyways, I also got a mani pedi yesterday, and anyone who judges is ridiculous. Don't judge.
No, I got
it's a great time.
Everyone should get one. I got one once. I just couldn't keep my feet still.
She kind of cut my finger a little bit, though.
The fingers were cool, yeah.
But I felt fresh to death. It's better when you could wear, like, flip-flops and stuff. It's much better. By the way, final note, Jen Royal versus Britt McHenry needs to happen. We're going to have Jen Royal on the show. She's a former Emmy-winning MLB reporter turned restaurant owner from Boston, and she's ready to fight Britt McHenry. And Britt McHenry is kind of bitching out. She's not going to fight. I really want Jen Royal versus Britt McHenry. And they tried the Barstool Rough and Rowdy. Britt says no. She's not. Jen's not famous enough. Meanwhile, Britt's like unemployed, trying to be a political reporter. But the world needs Britt versus Jen. Because Jen's ready to whoop her ass. And I'm ready to watch it. And Jen, definitely better looking than Britt. People will say Britt McHenry's hot, blah, blah, blah. Not really. She's overhyped. And the ref of the match could be the lady from the tow truck place that Britt sat on, like yelled at, and that thing that basically got her to lose her job. So we want it. We need it. America needs Britt McHenry versus Jen Royal. Get him in the ring right now. We'll end on that. This is the Jake Brown Show, radio.com, iTunes, Spotify. The show ends at the end of the month, so give us a follow at Jake Brown Radio, Jake Brown Show. Trying to work on a couple of things to expand this show, to try and bring in a co-host again. Nothing to report now, but things are in the works. That's all I'll say. We are working because you can't just end your baby. That's abortion. We don't want that. I'm off the hills. I'm off the hills right now. I need to stop. But thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks, everybody, who listened to that Desi interview. Talked about it. I'm taking Virginia over to Villanova in the title game. Teddy Bridgewater is a Jet. I'm happy. I'm happy with that. They'll still get a pick. And Kirk Cousins is the happiest man on the planet, and so is Aaron Rodgers, who's going to get the biggest payday of his life coming up. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the Jake Brown Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, review on iTunes and Spotify. And we'll see you next week.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.